WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number, with the usual caveat when I'm here by myself. Please don't call unless it is a talk radio emergency. If it is a talk radio emergency, I can deal with that. But if it's, until we figure out how I can answer the phone and talk and do everything else that I need to do, one thing you can do is you can call when music is playing or a PSA is playing. I'll take those calls. I will get you on the air if that's what you'd like. So 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is a steamy, oh man, do I hate this weather. I hate it with a passion. I don't mind the cold, all right? You can drop me in 0 degree weather, and it's like, all right, I got to bundle up. I'm fine. I can deal with it. Summertime rolls around, and I just sweat like a pig. It's horrible. I think there may be something medically wrong with me. I don't know. I go outside in this heat, and the sweat just pours off of me. And really what's wrong with me is I spend all day, every day in air conditioning. I go from my air-conditioned home to my air-conditioned car to my air-conditioned office, then back into my air-conditioned car, back to my air-conditioned home. I come to an air-conditioned radio station. So I go outside when it's like 85 and humid, and my body is like, what? What is this? We're not here for this. Please go back inside where it's cool. It doesn't slow me down, but I just feel so gross in this hot, nasty weather. As I used to say when Lisa Nichols was my co-host, there are only two things in this world that like this kind of weather, and that is Italians and tomatoes. They love it. We have a severe thunderstorm watch for the Boston Harbor area. In effect right now, and this is going until, I don't know when this is going until, they just say that this is, until 9 o'clock tonight. That's a long time, folks. That's until the show is done tonight. So if you're in the area, if you're anywhere inside of 495, be aware that there is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 9 o'clock tonight, and looking at the radar, I can see there's one little packet of storm and powerful cells making its way south of the Mass Turnpike right now. That's going to be making its way into Providence, Brockton, Plymouth. And then there's another big line out in western Massachusetts that is just going to come straight across our entire area. And that one looks pretty gnarly. There's some nasty, nasty weather in there. Other than that, it's quiet in the area right now. So probably for the next half an hour, 45 minutes, you're not going to see too much right around the Boston area. After that, look out. We got some pretty, potentially some pretty big storms coming through. You may have heard that there was a tornado warning issued about an hour or so ago for the Hooksett area up in New Hampshire. So if you're heading north, if you're heading west, just be advised that, yeah, there's some pretty nasty weather going on out there. Now, we're going to see more of this tomorrow. And of course, I'll do the weather later. But the weekend is looking very nice. So this should be a good weekend to get out, enjoy yourself. And of course, this is the last full weekend before Labor Day weekend. And then we all go back to summer's over. And I guess we go back to our normal lives, as if we suspend our normal lives in any way, shape, or form during the summertime. Someone who probably should have suspended his normal life was indicted today. And this is yet another scandal hitting the Massachusetts State Police. Those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis know that I am generally pro-cop. Okay, I appreciate the work that our police do. I support our police officers. I have zero tolerance for racist cops. I have zero tolerance for corrupt cops. So it's good to see this happen, but at the same time, here's another black mark for the Massachusetts State Police, which is unfortunate because historically and generally speaking, that is a pretty well-run organization. They're pretty professional up there, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for our stateies. But from CBS Local, Dana Pullman, the former president of the State Police Association of Massachusetts, Their acronym is SPAM, the State Police Association of Massachusetts, SPAM. You guys might want to change that. And Beacon Hill lobbyist Ann Lynch have both been arrested on federal conspiracy and obstruction charges. Prosecutors said Pullman ran the union, quote, like an old school mob boss, end quote, receiving thousands of dollars in illegal bribes and kickbacks. Pullman was arrested in Worcester and Lynch was taken into custody in Hull, both at their homes on Wednesday. Both are charged with wire fraud, honest services wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and honest services wire fraud, and obstruction of justice. In addition, Pullman is charged with fraud. Okay, if you got wire fraud, do you really need to throw fraud in there as well? Isn't that just another form of fraud? According to U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts Andrew Leiling, Pullman pressured companies to hire Lynch's lobbying firm. He would allegedly receive kickbacks when Lynch was hired. Pullman allegedly used a union debit card. This is where this gets fun. The first charge, okay? Pullman pressured companies to hire Lynch's lobbying firm. I don't know how you do that. I don't know what that entails. Other than, you know, this is a nice organization you got here. It would be a shame if anything happened to it. And then you get a bunch of state police standing around. We're not going to come and do our jobs if you call us. I don't know what organizations were involved or how they were pressured. That's a very conspicuous detail that is missing from this case. Obviously, significant enough that the feds are going to come in and pick these folks up. But I got to fault the reporting a little bit because I understand the scam, okay? You pressured companies to hire the lobbying firm, and then the lobbying firm was giving you money in exchange for those hires. Who were you pressuring? How were you doing it? These are things that people like to know. But now we get into the fun stuff. Pullman allegedly used a union debit card to pay for $9,000 in flowers, $8,000 at restaurants, and thousands of dollars on a trip to Miami, all very romantic, with a woman he was having an affair with. Not a good look, Mr. Pullman. FBI Boston Special Agent in Charge Joseph Bonavolanta said Pullman spent union money on champagne and caviar, a fully loaded Chevy Suburban, trips, and $10,000 on a night out on the town. How do you spend $10,000 on a night in Boston? If you're in New York City, I can see that you spend $10,000. Boston, $10,000. How many people were involved in that night? I need to know. And here we go with another unfortunate quote. As president of SPAM, oh man, change the acronym. You're the state police. You need a better acronym than this. Quote, as president of SPAM, we believe Pullman wielded the union like a criminal enterprise, running it like an old school mob boss, conspiring with Lynch to steal tens of thousands of dollars from its members in the Commonwealth, said Bonavolanta. In carrying out their schemes, they crossed over the thin blue line to committing felonies. This is a TV-ready FBI special agent. Current State Police Association President Sergeant Mark Lynch said in a statement the organization is appalled by the allegations. Quote, the current leadership of the State Police Association of Massachusetts fully cooperated with this investigation. In the first 60 days after I took office, I replaced all of the professional services providers, including our lobbyist. Based upon the new team's recommendations, we instituted accounting, auditing, and oversight procedures to ensure the integrity of all of our systems. As an organization, we are appalled and angered by the nature and extent of these allegations. Now here comes an unfortunate sentence. Our current members are honest, hardworking, and dedicated to public service. I am not going to dispute that last sentence. I believe that last sentence is 100% true. But there's a very important word in there. Current. Our current members are honest, hardworking, and dedicated to public service. When the FBI started investigating, Lelling said Pullman and Lynch obstructed justice by manipulating financial records. Lynch allegedly lied to law enforcement. Pullman resigned in September amid the state police overtime investigation that led to the arrests of several troopers. The arrests made on Wednesday are not connected to the overtime scandal. We have talked about the overtime scandal. This is where police were billing the state for overtime that they were not actually working, in some cases, to the tune of thousands of dollars. And this is why the State Police Association of Massachusetts, SPAM, has to put out a statement saying our current members are honest, hardworking, and dedicated to public service. So it looks like what happened here is Mark Lynch comes in at in the midst of the overtime scandal and starts seeing all this stuff that's going on. I don't know if the State Police Association of Massachusetts called the FBI and said, go look into this guy, or if the FBI was already looking into this guy. But they absolutely sat down with the FBI and said, here's what we got, here's what we know. So it looks like they played a pretty active role in bringing Pullman down. Since the majority of union funds came from dues paid by state police, Lelling said, those men and women are the true victims of the alleged crimes. Quote, more than 1,500 men and women at the state police trusted Pullman to work for him in their best interests. Based on the complaint unsealed today, he betrayed their trust and, simply put, took their money. A Massachusetts state police spokesman released a statement following the arrests. Colonel Gilpin and her command staff demand and expect that department members follow the law and department policy in all aspects of their professional and personal lives, including union activities. The conduct, as alleged in the criminal complaint, represents serious offenses and violates the ideals and values of the Massachusetts State Police. The department has cooperated and will continue to cooperate with the United States Attorney's Office and continues to fulfill its mission through the countless troopers who protect our state with dedication, courage, and integrity every day. If you know a state police trooper, give him a hug. Give her a hug. Hug a state trooper. Don't just like walk up to them randomly and hug them. But if you know them, you know, if you're friendly with them, give them a hug, because this is two black eyes in a row for the state police. The first one was the overtime scandal, which was insane. If you told me that MBTA officials are doing that, or if you told me that people at the registry are billing fake overtime, I'd buy it. You know, the Department of Education is billing fake overtime, or somebody up at the Department of Transportation is using their state-issued debit card to rack up personal charges. I could believe any of those things. When it's the state police, it's a whole different story. And the important takeaway in this for me is the state police ferreted this out. And they cooperated. And they said, we're not going to have this among our ranks. They take pride in who they are. The vast majority of Massachusetts state troopers take a tremendous amount of pride in wearing that uniform. They take their job very seriously. And it's sad to see that organization, which should be, you know, we always like to think that our police and our firefighters are above reproach. And I know in certain neighborhoods there's issues with the cops. I'm not going to argue that. Okay, there are bad cops. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there are not bad cops. There are bad cops. And there are bad state troopers. My wife had a run-in with a bad state trooper. And I was shocked when I heard about how this guy treated her and some of the things this guy did. But the vast majority of police are dedicated to their jobs. They put their lives on the line for us. They will take a bullet for you. They will get hit by a car for you. They will risk their life to save you. And they will do their jobs with as much professionalism as they are capable of mustering. And when things like this happen, it is a huge hit to morale for the state police, because it makes the organization look like a joke. And the organization is not a joke. The Massachusetts State Police have a very long and distinguished history. And they do a lot of really interesting things. Their canine unit, if somebody disappears, if they're looking for a body somewhere, that state police canine unit is out there doing that. Drug enforcement cases, those canines are out there doing that. SWAT situations, the state police get involved. State police divers go out and rescue people, wintertime, summertime. We see all kinds of stories about what they do. Most of us, the only interaction we're ever going to have with a state cop is getting pulled over on the Mass Turnpike because you're doing 95 miles an hour. And they're generally pretty cool about it. They're not, you know, they don't yell at you a lot. They come over and they're like, do you know how fast you were going? And it's like, yeah, I do. Here's my license. Here's my registration. Give me my ticket. I earned it. And they're generally speaking, you know, hardworking, professional, good people. So my takeaway from this is don't try and paint the Massachusetts State Police as a corrupt organization. There were corrupt individuals within the organization who were doing some bad things. And this went all the way up to the top of the union. And that's a shame. But that is not a reflection of who the Massachusetts State Police are. It is not a reflection of how they do their work or what the average trooper is doing. The state police themselves found themselves victimized by this because their money was taken by the union president apparently for a $10,000 night out on the town. And again, I have no idea how you spend $10,000 on a night on the town in Boston. Unless you're drinking like Dom Perignon all night long. There just aren't that many places in the city where you can spend that kind of money. Either you have a massive crowd or you're drinking, you know, rare scotch and Dom Perignon. So clearly this guy was living the high life. I hope he finds jail as enjoyable as the high life. I doubt that he will. But again, don't let this color your perception of the Massachusetts State Police. They're a good organization. They're a hardworking and dedicated organization. They've done a lot of good in this state. And, you know, if you're dealing with local cops who are a problem, I understand that. Nobody should be getting hassled by the police. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. I mean, obviously, if you're dealing drugs and the cops know that you're dealing drugs, and you know that the cops know that you're dealing drugs, and they're coming around and they're bugging you all the time, they're basically saying, hey, stop dealing drugs. That's a different situation. But if you're a law-abiding citizen, you shouldn't be getting hassled by cops. That's wrong. And that's when you go to the mayor's office. That's when you go, you know, you go and you talk to the chief. You know, walk in and just be like, I want to see the chief. I want to see the captain. I want to talk about what's going on out here. They will listen, some of them. You know, generally speaking, ever since what happened back in the early 1990s with Charles Stewart, the Boston police and Massachusetts police have made an effort to engage in positive policing in our communities. They're not running around rousting everybody again. There was that thing that happened on Methadone Mile in Boston about a week or so ago where the police came in and cleaned house of all the homeless people down there, and that raised a lot of eyebrows, as it should. I think that was an overreaction, and that's also, you know, a cop got beaten up, and then the mayor turns around and says, go get those people out of there. And because a cop got beaten up, I think the police were a little more aggressive than they ordinarily would have been. That's unfortunate. And that's something that needs to be addressed. And that's something we need to discuss. But by and large, you know, it's easy to sit around and say, ah, cops are corrupt and I hate the cops and, you know, F the police and all the rest of that until you find yourself in a situation where you need them. And if you hold that attitude that all cops are corrupt and all cops are bad, my advice to you is to call somebody else when you have an emergency. Don't call the police. Somebody's breaking into your house, somebody's shooting at you, and you hate the cops, don't call the cops. But you're not going to do that. You are going to call the cops. You are going to call the police. They are a necessary part of our society. They are part of what keeps us together. And it's very unfortunate, as I say, to see this happen to the Massachusetts State Police. And hug a state trooper. If you know a state trooper, hug a state trooper and say, you know what? I value what you do. Now, if you see a state trooper, say thanks, because they do have a tough job, and this does not make it any easier for them. In other sort of local police news, this one's a little bit on the lighter side. Folks, I know that Portland, Maine is a big party town. I've been up there. It's a good time. Friday, Saturday night, if you're young, you owe it to yourself to go up to Portland, Maine, especially when the weather is nice, because right downtown, they got all these bars that just open up on this alley where you can walk around and drink and nobody says anything. You can just drift from bar to bar. There really isn't any place like that anywhere else in New England. Usually you try and walk out the door someplace with a drink. They're like, hey, where are you going? You get back in here and finish that. Portland, Maine is the exception. And it gets a little rowdy up there at times, but it's also a lot of fun. So Portland has a reputation as a party town, but the Portland police have a message, courtesy of Boston.com. Portland police in Portland, Maine, share an important reminder about White Claw Hard Seltzer. You may know this as the popular drink amongst the young. It's basically 10 proof, 5% alcohol polar seltzer. So if you're used to drinking the polar out of the cans of the supermarket, put some booze in that and you get White Claw. Police in Portland, Maine issued an important public service announcement. You're going to want to keep this in mind if you're going up to Portland for Labor Day weekend. Police in Portland, Maine issued an important public service announcement Monday. Quote, to clear the air, here in Portland, laws still apply even when you're drinking claws. Claws, of course, refers to White Claw, the hard seltzer taking the world by storm. The catchphrase that followed the summer drink's rise to stardom, ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, apparently triggered the message. And this is what the Portland police had to say on Twitter. We have been made aware of a popular saying, ain't no laws when you're drinking claws. To clear the air, here in Portland, laws still apply even when you're drinking claws or drinking anything else. Retweet to keep your bros out of trouble. So that's a little warning from the Portland police up there. I always like it when the police reach out on Twitter and do something fun and do something different. Portland's basically saying, hey, guys, let's not be drinking the claws in public. Let's not be drinking the booze in public. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Every now and again, I get one of these stories. I seem to have to do one of these every 3 months or so. I recall doing one in the winter. I recall doing one in the spring. Here it is, the end of summer. And I'm doing another one of these. And these stories all follow the same format. A video is posted online. A photo is posted online. Somebody calls the police about somebody doing something or somebody finds something written somewhere and there is the collective freak out. Everybody loses their minds because there's a video on Facebook or Instagram or there's a picture up on Twitter and everybody starts jumping up and down saying, oh my God, racism, racism, racism. When will America stop being racist? Well, the answer to that question is never, okay? I don't think we're ever going to stop being a racist country. I don't think humans are ever going to stop being a racist species. It's what we are. It's who we are. And you do yourself a favor by acknowledging that. Because if you are aware of that and you recognize that existing in yourself, then you can counter it. You can say, you know what? I sometimes have negative thoughts about certain groups of people or certain types of people. I need to work to overcome that. That's how you become not racist. Donald Trump loves to sit around and say, I'm not racist, okay? Because in his mind, he's not. But there are countless stories that have been published in the press of Donald Trump saying racist things and having racist attitudes. And I'm not talking about the tweet that just came out where he said, you know, if you're Jewish and you vote Democrat, you're a traitor. I think I'm paraphrasing that. I'm talking about people recounting situations. There was one guy who said he was in a car with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump said something disparaging about black people and why he wouldn't rent to black people or didn't like to rent to black people. That's racism. And one of the things about our personalities is we take so much of them for granted. And we just assume that because we think a certain way and we believe certain things that everyone does. This is not true. But one of the things that is true is that biologically, up in our brains, we're programmed for racism. We are. And there are sociologists and psychologists and psychiatrists and scientists who will tell you this. Because we, like every other species on this planet, compete for resources. We don't have to as much anymore. We don't have to go fight our fellow man to get food or water or to keep a roof over our head. But those are fairly recent inventions. Society is a fairly recent invention in the history of Homo sapiens on this planet. Food availability and clean water are even more recent inventions. Indoor plumbing, we've only had that for a few hundred years. We are still feral. We don't like to admit that we're feral. We don't like to think that we're feral, but we are feral. We walk around and put on a good show of not being racist. But somewhere way deep down in that primal brain of ours, we are. Because we look at other humans and say, you want to take my stuff. Now, one of the reasons that we're successful is because we adapted very early on and said, this is my tribe, this is my group. And as long as I am with this group, I am safe and we will succeed. And then you look at a group that looks different from you and you say, that is the enemy. They are bad. They are coming to take our stuff. So we're not fully, we're not like the betta fish. If you ever had a betta fish when you were a kid, the Japanese fighting fish, you have to keep them in separate bowls because they are so programmed to fight for resources that if you put two of them in the same bowl, they will fight and one will kill the other one. They're beautiful fish. But they're also one of the most vicious things on the planet. Honey badgers are like this. There are a number of creatures that are just like, they see anything trying to take their food, and they're going to come over and try and kill you. That was us way, 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 way back in our history. You know, probably before we came down out of the trees, we were like that. But by the time we came down out of the trees and started walking around and started hunting and gathering and building settlements and things, we learned how to cooperate. And we learned and we became a social species. So the first thing you have to do when you're going to talk about racism is understand that no matter what, racism is part of your... Kant called it the a priori, the synthetic a priori. It is part of your programming. And some people are people who are aware of it know how to deal with it and know how to cope with it and know when that thought crosses your mind that like, what's up with that guy over there? You're immediately like, wait a minute. No. That's a human being. And there is one absolute truth about human beings, and that is that we are all, every last one of us, frightened fellow travelers on the road to the grave. We all wind up in the same place. We all have the same terror about it. That unites us. And there is no time in this life to be racist. But to stop being racist, you have to acknowledge. You can't sit there and say, I've never had a racist thought in my life. If that is true, you have some form of autism that prevents you from having racist thoughts. And good for you. That's great. Everybody else, come on, let's be honest. We all have racist thoughts. Some of us recognize them and recognize that they're wrong and recognize that we need to be better than that. Some of us don't care and just embrace it and say, yep, racism, I'm on board. Let's do it. Let's go. And some people just deny it. Some people sit there and say, oh, no, I'm not racist. By the way, those black people, you know, they're a real problem. Wait, you just said a racist thing. Yeah, but I'm not racist. What I'm saying is fact. Those are the words. That's your Donald Trump right there. Donald Trump will sit there all day and say, I'm not racist. And he'll say, you know what the thing is when you rent to the black people? No, I don't. And I don't want to know because it's racist, Mr. President. And you have to draw that line with this president between understanding what is a racist and what is a white supremacist. Donald Trump isn't a white supremacist. Okay. He's really not. He doesn't, as I've said many times before, this president doesn't see people. This president doesn't understand people. This president sees the world through a balance sheet. He sees numbers. and he sees numbers going the way that he wants them or not going the way that he wants them. And he does what he can to keep the numbers moving in the direction that he wants them. He's not interested in human beings at all outside of his own family. And there's a weird sort of Scottish clan thing going on with that. But all this is a bit aside from the story. Here's yet another one. It's the Daily Beast. You know, it's summertime when I am telling you about a story in the Daily Beast. Because really, this is a garbage news outlet. Okay, but it's a garbage news outlet that gets spread far and wide on Facebook and Twitter, and people see this stuff, and everybody freaks out. These are the worst clickbait, outrage culture, cancel culture, noisy children of the internet imaginable. And here we are again, because this story has now jumped from them to the mainstream. Why? It's the third week of August, and we have nothing else to talk about except whether or not Joe Biden can remember his name. So, from the Daily Beast, video, California high school students sing Nazi song and gave Hitler salute. Oh, my God. High school students sang a Nazi song and gave a Hitler salute. Athletes performed an homage to the Third Reich before an awards ceremony. Their school won't say how they were disciplined. As if this is the end times, folks. And I mean, honestly, you're on the Daily Beast. Every headline on this site looks like, you know, it's in these big italicized block letters with red accents all over the place. Like, breaking news! This is the end of the world. And then we got this illustration here of a Nazi flag and a bunch of people, a bunch of hands throwing the Roman salute in front of it. A group of high school students in Southern California gave a Nazi salute and sang a Nazi song during an awards ceremony last year, according to video reviewed by the Daily Beast. Really, you high school kids got to figure out who dimed you out and make sure that no one signs their yearbook. That's what you got to do. Somebody dropped a dime on you for this one. The video shows about 10 members of the boys' water polo team at Pacifica High School in Garden Grove, California, throwing the salute once used to greet Adolf Hitler while singing a Nazi marching song played for German troops during World War II. Two more videos have emerged since this story was originally published. It's a crisis, my friends. It's an epidemic. The high school water polo team from Garden Grove, California. I'm going to guess... first of all, these kids play water polo, okay? Let me tell you something about kids that play water polo. They have access to swimming pools. And people who have access to swimming pools are people who have money. So we have about 10 or so rich white kids from some milquetoast suburb in California singing a Nazi song. The incident occurred in an unsupervised banquet room out of view of adults, the school said. The video was uploaded to Instagram by one of the athletes. Oh, here you go. Who also posted lyrics to the song in his Instagram bio. After the video expired, the athlete removed the reference. He did not respond to requests for comment because he's smart. Because he saw what happened to the kids wearing the MAGA hats during that ridiculous incident back at the start of the year. On Wednesday, more hateful videos became public. One video, reportedly filmed last year, shows members of the team making the same Nazi salute and singing a German song outdoors. In the video, one student is seen wearing a Confederate flag over his body. The other video, reportedly filmed this year, shows two students goose-stepping, one carrying Germany's current flag. A spokesperson for the Garden Grove Unified School District, where Pacifica High School resides, originally told the Daily Beast that the school administrators became aware of the first incident in video 4 months later in March, but did not say if they disciplined anyone. It's none of your business, Daily Beast. It's none of America's business how they discipline a kid. What does it matter? What difference does it make in your life, listening to me? In your life, anywhere outside of Garden Grove, California, unless you're if you're one of these kids' parents. It makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in the kid's life. Who else cares? Who else even needs to know about this? A parent and student told the Daily Beast the community was not informed about the incident. Why should they be? Why would anyone in the school need to know that this happened? which was subsequently confirmed by the school district in a statement. Quote, when Pacifica High School administrators first learned of this offensive video 4 months afterward, the investigation included disparate accounts and lacked details that have since emerged, the district said. School administrators addressed the situation with the students shown in the video and their families, but did not involve the larger school or district community in addressing the issue. On Tuesday night, dozens of teachers and families attended a school board meeting to express anger. They were not informed about the incident. You had an obligation to let us know about this event. You failed miserably, said Randy Steiner, a Pacifica parent. Get a life, Randy Steiner. Pacifica High School principal Steve Osborne apologized for not doing more. What you should have done, Steve Osborne, is told Randy Steiner to go kick rocks. But instead you said this. When administration first learned of the video in March, we did a disservice to the entire school community to limiting our action to the small group of students involved, he said, according to KABC. Osborne said administrators are reopening and widening their investigation in light of the new videos. Officials said students received death threats over the videos. Yeah, because they're running in the Daily Beast, where everybody's just sitting around waiting for something to get outraged over. Rabbi Peter Levi, director of the Anti-Defamation League's Orange County chapter, criticized the school for apparently failing to address the incident with the community. Again, all right? Rabbi Peter Levi, I'm not going to drag you. You don't deserve it. Here's what he has to say. Generally speaking, especially when something like this involves a group, we would think a more meaningful approach would be to use this as a learning opportunity, as an opportunity community-wide to state what our values are. This requires investigation and conversation. We'd like to see a more systematic response. Okay, you're at least being reasonable, Rabbi Levi. That's reasonable. I still disagree that you got to bring it up in front of the whole school community. And I'll tell you why in a second. The song the athletes were singing in the first video was written by German composer Hermes Neil during the rise of Hitler and was played to inspire Nazi troops serving in Germany's armed forces from 1935 until 1945 when the Third Reich fell. Neil was a member of the Nazi Party and conducted bands at the infamous Nuremberg rallies for Hitler's disciples. Peter Simi, a professor on extremism studies at Chapman University who has no business being in this story, but he lives nearby in Orange County, told the Daily Beast the song is so obscure it raises questions about how the athletes learned about it. Quote, it's not something you'd expect somebody to accidentally know about. There's some means by which they acquired knowledge about the song and associated Nazi issues. Are they on websites or web forums or other social media platforms where they're engaging with others informed on these issues? Are we running for the hills yet, everyone? Are we cowering in fear? This is the second recent incident involving Nazi portrayals by students in Southern California. In March, Orange County High School students were suspended after photos of them playing beer pong with cups set up in a swastika formation went viral. Like Pacifica's water polo team, the students in the video were seen extending their arms in Nazi salutes. In the aftermath of the Orange County scandal, the Los Angeles Holocaust Museum invited students who attended the party to tour its museum and meet with Holocaust survivors. When? Correct. Good. The museum also plans to extend an invitation to the Pacifica students seen in last fall's video. Win. Correct. Good. I would definitely love to reach out to the principal of Pacifica High School and see if we can do the same thing we did with the Newport Harbor students, Beth Keene, the museum CEO, told the Daily Beast. Once you see those artifacts, you realize what these symbols, like the German nationalist song, really represent. That is really the best way to learn and make sure we can move forward and prevent these types of incidents from happening. Now, as I said, I have to deal with this story once every 3 months, whether I like it or not. Every 3 months, one of these things comes up. And every 3 months, it is the same answer. Bored kids. These are bored kids. This is a bunch of bored, rich kids. White kids who spend every day hanging around with each other because they play water polo together. And somebody's sitting around going, you know, I'm bored. I mean, what can we do? What can we do that's like forbidden? Well, you know, we could go commit robberies. They're not going to do that because that'll get you in trouble and somebody might get hurt. We could do drugs. That's what a lot of kids do. They're sitting around bored. They're like, hey, let's try heroin. And then the next thing you know, out of 10 people, you know, 8 of them are in detox. And the other 2 somehow, you did it once and they were like, nope, not going back to that. They're bored kids. And they're looking to do something forbidden. They're looking to do something that, you know, if we get caught, we're going to get in a lot of trouble. But you're not going to get in real trouble. You're not going to go to jail. You're not going to throw the rest of your life away. Unless the Daily Beast comes along and puts it on the internet and says, can you believe these white supremacist young people? And we got the university professor here. Please, for the love of God, stop quoting university professors. I'm telling you. Unless they're Tufts. And we're talking about engineering. That's fine. But this clown, what is this clown's name? I need to remind myself. Peter Simi, a professor of extremism studies at Chapman University. Extremism studies. I guess that, I don't know if that's the opposite of gender studies, where you go in and you learn how to be an extremist. Like maybe you come out and you're ready to join Antifa. Are they on websites or web forums or other social media platforms where they're engaging with others informed on these issues? No. No. You want to know what happened? Some one of these kids found a Nazi song and said, hey, I found this Nazi song. Let's listen to it. And these kids are sitting around bored and they're like, all right, let's listen to the Nazi song. And they listen to the Nazi song and they're like, it's kind of catchy. I like that. That's interesting. You know, if our parents knew we were doing this, we'd get in a lot of trouble. And that's all it takes. That one kid saying, you know, if our parents knew we were doing this, we'd get in a lot of trouble. So every time they get together secretly, they're singing the Nazi song. And they're throwing the Roman salute. And they're goose stepping with German flags because they're bored. These kids aren't white supremacists. They might be racist. I know they're rich white kids from California. There's a lot of that out there. But when you read this piece and you read the hysteria, and oh, we got to go get a university professor, and we need to know why the community wasn't informed, and we got this idiot. It's not fair for me to call him an idiot. All right, Randy Steiner, Pacifica parent, you had an obligation to let us know about this event. No, they don't. No, they don't. The school has no obligation to tell you about this. The school handled this the right way. The school found out about it and talked to the kids and said, don't do it again. That's stupid. If you do it again, you're going to get suspended. And the kids are sitting there snickering under their breath saying, yeah, we got in trouble. And then 30 years from now, they're going to be sitting around the bar somewhere going, hey, remember that time we got in trouble for singing the Nazi song before water polo practice? Everybody's going to laugh about it. These kids aren't hanging around on white supremacist forums. They're not. This isn't Daily Stormer coming to the high school and recruiting people. These are a bunch of dumb, bored kids, like the dumb, bored kid in New York that drew swastikas all over the playground. Like the dumb, bored kids playing beer pong with the red Solo cup set up in the shape of a swastika. You don't need a community response to that. We don't need to tell all the parents, we've had an unfortunate incident. Some of our children have behaved in racist ways. Because they're never going to tell the parents what really happened. They're going to put out some vague statement like, we've received some recent reports of racist activity and Nazi activity in our school. And the parents are sitting there like, what are you talking about? Nazi activity in the school? What's going on? And you go down and you talk to the principals. You talk to the teachers like, no, we can't say anything about it. Confidentiality. This is all horse shirt. This is a giant horse shirt. You should go out and buy this horse shirt. I have no love at all. None whatsoever for people who are anti-Semitic. Okay? Needless. No love at all for the Nazis. This is noise. This is nonsense. And I'm tired of covering this story. The kids do it. Whoever's calling, by the way, I'm cutting to a break in a few minutes. Please call back during the break. Whoever, these kids are doing this because they're bored. These kids are doing this because they got nothing better to do. These kids are doing this because they want to get a rise out of somebody. There's no organization here. They're not gonna get out of high school and then go join some white nationalist group. Maybe one or two of them will. Maybe there is an actual anti-Semite in here. Maybe there is an actual racist in this group. But for the most part, these are bored kids who do this because they know it will infuriate the adults, because it's forbidden. Because they've been told, this is the worst thing you can do. This is the forbidden song. We're going to sing the forbidden song. High school, your teenage years are all about pushing boundaries, breaking rules, causing trouble. And in the grand scheme of things, this is one of the more innocent things that kids do. This is way better than kids joining gangs. This is way better than kids doing drugs. This is way better than kids racing cars, drinking and driving, risky sexual behavior. All the things that kids do. These kids are singing some Nazi songs when no adults are around because it makes them feel cool and it makes them feel bonded. So how do you fix this? Simple. You take those 10 kids, you take them down to the Holocaust Museum, you have them talk to some Holocaust survivors, and you'll get through to some of them. If you really want to get through to these kids, you find out who their friends are, you find out who their Jewish friends are, and you sit them down in a room with their Jewish friends, and you play that video of them singing that song and giving the Hitler salute, and then let their friends have at them. Because what their friends are going to do, people who they know, people who they respect, people who they care about, what their friends are going to do is, number one, possibly kick the crap out of them. And by all means, stand back and let that happen. But what they're more likely to do is say, dude, are you kidding me? Do you understand what it means to me when you do that? Do you hate me? Because that's the point where that kid is going to sit there and say, you know what? No, wait, no, I didn't mean that. We were just doing that for a goof. And the friend's going to sit there and say, yeah, well, that goof really hurts me. I lost family members in the Holocaust. I don't think I want to be your friend anymore. And then it's like, wait a minute. Hang on. That's as much of the community as you need to involve. Get the friends involved. Let them know what these kids are doing. Let the friends be the ones to tell them, guys, I know you're bored. I know you're trying to get people worked up. Find a better way of doing it. Stop being an edgelord. Stop trying to be cool by being all dark and evil. Go do something constructive. Stop singing the Nazi song. That will work far better than the Daily Beast trying to use this as another example of white supremacism run riot in Donald Trump's America, which is absolutely what this is not. 855-915-9636. I'm Derek Gary. It is The Big Picture. I am almost forgetting an important component of the show, because I am tired of covering this story. I am tired of story after story about bored kids doing something racist and adults freaking out. Because you know what happens when adults freak out when bored kids do something racist? Other bored kids look at it and they say, hey, if we do something racist, it really gets the adults worked up. And that's what the kids want. That's really what the kids want. The kids want the adults freaking out. They want the Daily Beast coverage. They want the Daily Beast coverage because all of a sudden, like, hey, we made the news. Then the death threats roll in and now you got a real problem. So can we all just calm down about this stuff?
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast gets better, I promise. Not so much tonight. Keep an eye out. We have a severe thunderstorm warning in place until 9 o'clock tonight. After that, the bad weather should have moved through here. And it's going to stay sticky tonight. Lows only in the mid-70s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, hot, humid. Highs in the low 90s, and the same thing. Afternoon thunderstorms are going to be moving through. I expect some of those could be severe. Lows in the mid-60s, and then, my friends, beautiful weekend on tap. Friday, dry, partly cloudy, high around 80 degrees, low in the low 60s. Saturday, sunny, high in the low 70s, low in the mid-60s Saturday night. Sunday, put on a jacket. High only of about 70 degrees, lows in the low 60s, probably getting down into the 50s in the cooler suburbs. And once again, nice and dry and comfortable. And it's pretty much going to be in that general vein heading into next week. So this will be a good weekend for outdoor stuff. Good weekend. Not so much. It's not going to be a great beach weekend, but a great weekend for golf. Great weekend for hiking. Great weekend for getting out and enjoying the New England area. 855-915-9636. When we come back, we're going to talk about meritocracy. And very interesting article I read this week saying that meritocracy, which is something I definitely believe in certain aspects, might be what's wrong here in America right now. This is WMFO Medford.
You're buying a pork roast or pork chops? This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a few suggestions. Most stores carry a wide selection of pork cuts, so shop carefully and select the one that suits your needs best. High-quality, fresh pork will be grayish pink or darker in color. Also be sure the meat is firm and not pale, soft, or watery. And consider the amounts of fat and bone when you compare costs per pound of different pork cuts.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And then On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. During the break, heard from one of our callers who had a great, great idea for what to do with kids, like these kids in California that we were just talking about, who were singing Nazi songs and giving the Roman salute, imitating Hitler. His suggestion is mandatory military service. A lot of countries do this. Mandatory military service. And you cannot get a passport until you complete it. So you can't just turn 18 and then run off and go hide in another country. You have to do your year of service to get your passport. It's an interesting idea. And it's an interesting idea because nothing makes you appreciate people from other backgrounds quite like being in a foxhole with them and being dependent on them to make sure that you get home safely. That will disavow a lot of people of racist ideas very, very quickly. Or any sort of, you know, isms. I generally say don't live your life according to any kind of ism. One other thing sort of alongside that, that I like to think about is, as people know, I'm a football fan. So I think the idea of mandatory military service would be a good one, actually. And you know what? Maybe we throw everybody in the National Guard and we make them do infrastructure improvements and we make them clean up our cities and we make them plant trees and we make them do all the things that we need done in this country.